fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side.
Welcome to The Other Side. I'm Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. And I think we're going to have a fascinating discussion. I've always been fascinated by astrology. I guess my first introduction was to it as a little kid. I always loved radio, and my mom used to listen to a radio station where people would call in and get their astrological readings. And I always thought that was so cool. Never forgot it, and have always been fascinated since, although I am certainly not an expert. So it's a particularly good thing that we have an expert on the line, Carmen Turner Schott. And she is the author of a recent book, The Mysteries of the 12th Astrological House, Fallen Angels. And we're so glad to have her with us. She's also very professionally accomplished. She is a practicing licensed clinical social worker, astrologer, writer, and teacher with a national and international clientele. And she's been working as an astrological counselor with victims of trauma for over 25 years. She has her master's of social work, and she also has the demarcation of LISW and also MSW. So very, very neat. We're looking forward to speaking with Carmen. Carmen, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
So you're a professional. You know, you've got obviously a very erudite person. But how did you get into astrology? Because sometimes people might have the picture that somebody who is in astrology may have kind of their head in the clouds and those kind of things. But you have that professional feet on the ground side, but yet you are an expert in astrology. So how did that journey start for you?
Yes. Well, it all started when I was in high school. I was kind of born very spiritual and always interested in angels and unexplained things. And I was kind of the oddball of my family. And so I always, you know, had these weird experiences I couldn't explain and dreams and all of these things. I always just felt different from my parents and from everyone around me. And it was just kind of who I was. And my senior year in high school, I actually had a unexplained mystical experience that changed my life. And I call it the glowing ball light in my doorway. When one night I went to sleep and I always had to have my bed facing the door where I could look out into the hallway, and my parents' room was right there where they could see into my doorway. It was a very small house. And I went to bed one night and I woke up and I saw this glowing ball of light floating in my doorway. And it was translucent, kind of yellow, watery looking, about the size of a softball. And of course, at that time, I'm 16 years old. So I was afraid, you know, because it was the unknown. Now I wish I would have walked over to it. But at that time, I was a little bit scared. And I tried to yell, I tried to scream for my mother, but my voice was gone. It's like, I don't know if it took my voice or whatever, but I couldn't yell, I couldn't move. I laid there and watched it. And the only thing I had control of was my mind. And I remember just praying, please don't have it come in my room. Please don't have it come in my room, over and over. And I just laid there and watched it for hours, and it never came inside my door sill. It just stayed there. And it took off, it came back and floated there. And after probably hours of laying there, unable to yell, unable to move, it's like it released me, is the only way I know to explain it. And I was able to yell my mother's name, Mom. And I said, look in my doorway. And I said, do you see it? And she said, I do. So for the first time, my mother saw what I had seen. And believe me, because she was looking at it, I said, you know, we're yelling back and forth. She said, maybe it's a lightning bug. I'm like, no, it's too big. It's huge. She said, maybe someone's shining a flashlight and, you know, trying to be, practical. I said, no, it's not. And my dad and brother were gone that weekend. So it was just me and my mother in the house. So she kind of was used to me waking her up in the night from dreams and just different things. I would always wake her up. She's like, just go back to sleep. So I ended up laying there watching this thing and finally passed out. And the next day, my mother said, that was not a lightning bug. I don't know what that was. And I said, I know. So after that experience, I started going to some mystical bookstores and things, just looking for different books. and to explain why I have these experiences that no one could, describe why. I mean, I just felt like, why is this happening? I bought my first astrology book about Virgo and did my chart and found out that I had planets in the 12th astrological house. And it all started to make sense of why I am different and why I am intuitive and have these strange experiences. So I started researching it, and that's how my journey as an astrologer began, from that experience with that glowing ball light.
Now, we probably have some people in the audience who are experts about astrology, who know a lot. They may not know as much as you do, but, you know, they're steeped in it, and they're practitioners of it, they follow it, they read about it. And then you've got people like me who are interested in it, but, you know, in the old days, we'd be the people who would read the astrology column in the newspaper, if you remember that, sure, when that was a thing. So I guess what the point is that some people might not be familiar with some of the basics that you talk about, or some of the more advanced things that you talk about. So I know this book is specifically about the 12th astrological house, but could you explain the house system, how it works, and then we can work our way into the significance of the 12th house?
Yes. So in astrology, you know, most people know what their sun sign is. You know, that's your month and day of birth. And there's 12 zodiac astrological signs. There's 12 signs of the zodiac. And each sign is associated with a certain area of life in what we call that is a certain area of the sky. So when you're born, if you're looking up at the sky, the time, exact time, place, date, year of your birth, all of the planets are in a certain star constellation, which are the signs, and they're in a certain area of the sky, which astrologers call houses. And we kind of take that map of the sky and put it on a piece of paper, and that is your natal chart, your birth chart, which is your personality, and it's everything about your destiny and why you're here. So it's very important to analyze it and understand it. So when you look at it, it's like a wheel. And there's 12 areas, and they're numbered. You know, if you ever go on astro.com or any free chart sites, they can pull it up, and it looks like a wheel. Well, the houses, they represent meaningful areas of our life. So, you know, when we start, the chart is started by the rising sign, and that's the sign that's coming up on the horizon when you're born. And it's usually, you know, early morning period. You know, so for, you know, me, I got Virgo there. Some people have, you know, Cancer, Pisces, depending on what time you're born. The rising sign, it starts the first house cusp, which is your physical appearance, you know, how people feel about you when they first meet you. It's kind of your mask, you know, so to speak. People kind of judge you based on your rising sign, actually, because that's the energy they feel immediately. And that's kind of the sign that you use to deal with stress. So the first house is all about the body and physical appearance. And then the second house is all about money and finance and security and finding self-esteem, all of those of values, what you value. The third house is communication, writing, short journeys, you know, publishing, teaching, you know, all of those kind of things. And it's all about learning. The third house. The fourth house is the house of your home and family. It's your childhood, your roots, your past home, your current home, your future home. And depending on what planets are in those houses, that's how we interpret certain things that you might go through in your life and certain personality traits you have. And then you have the fifth house, which is children, play, self-expression, anything like gambling, love affairs, you know, anything that's pleasure is the fifth house. The sixth house is the house of health and diet and routine. And it is all about structure and having order in your life. And it can really, you know, having planets there can show, you know, maybe what kind of health vulnerabilities you might have or what things happen in your health and in different vulnerable areas. And also, you know, what kind of routine you need and things like that, and structure. Seventh house is also called the descendant, and it opposes the first house on the wheel, and it is the house of relationships and partnership and marriage. So depending on what sign, you know, one of the 12 signs that falls there, it'll show what type of relationship partners you attract, what type of people you're physically attracted to and fall in love with, and what kind of people are good for you in partnership and business and things like that. And then eighth house is another very spiritual, mystical house. It's just like the 12th house. It's ruled by Scorpio. It's the house of death, rebirth, transformation, regeneration, psychic abilities, healing. All of these very powerful things are eighth house energies. And I also do a lot of research and have a book about that out there too, the eighth house. And then the ninth house is the house of travel, foreign culture, you know, religion, philosophy, different languages. A lot of times when people have planets in the ninth house, they tend to travel a lot, or they live overseas or travel to foreign countries and or marry someone from a different culture or background than they have, and enjoy, all of those things. And so ninth house is a very, very, happy house. It's positive. It has to do with movement. And then the 10th house is the house of career and your public image. You know, what kind of job you're going to be drawn to, you know, when you look at the zodiac sign that sits on that 10th house on the wheel, that really shows, you know, the good luck and good fortune you have with your career and what kind of jobs would be best for you and what kind of challenges and strengths you might have in your career, depending on what planets are in your 10th house, if you have any. And then the 11th house is the house of humanitarian causes, friendship, group work. And it's, you know, ruled by Aquarius. So it's all about helping large groups of people in a detached way, in friendships and acquaintances. And then we come to the 12th house, which is the final house in the wheel. And a lot of astrologers believe, you know, when you have a lot of planets in the 12th house, it's kind of your last life. It's like you've been through a lot and you're an old soul type of person. When you have the sun there, for instance, you've kind of journeyed through life and you're here for a special destiny. So it's the house ruled by Pisces and Neptune. So it's all about spirituality. It's about secret enemies, escapism, sacrifice, service to others, mystical experiences, dreams, lucid dreaming, psychic abilities, you know, unconscious things, the collective consciousness, you know, being connected and one with everything, like Carl Jung talks about, is really a 12th house thing where people, they lack boundaries with themselves and others in their environment. So they pick up everything going on. They're very empathic. So it's the house of addiction as well. And all of these things that are really deep and spiritual, and angels and all these things. They always say it's the house of guardian angels and protection as well from higher forces. So it's a very special house to me because I have a few planets there. And because of counseling people through the years, I realize how important it is to know if you have planets in this house. So I kind of dedicated the past 25 years to researching the 12th and 8th houses and interviewing people through my, you know, astrology work, through my normal life, meeting people with these placements and learning that they all have similar psychic and mystical experiences. And I started collecting their stories, and some of their stories are in my book here, the Mysteries of the 12th House, Fallen Angels. And so this is my great love.
So I was reading your bio that you are an 8th and 12th house person. So how does that work? I mean, are all of us certain house persons?
Yes. I always say, when I write, I call, 8th house people, 12th house people. So if you have really the major planets like the sun, moon, Venus, Mars, Pluto, Jupiter, Neptune, Saturn. I mean, if you have Uranus, any planets in the 12th or 8th, I call that person a 8th or 12th house person. Also, if you have a lot of Pisces energy or strong Neptune in your chart, like Neptune in the first, Neptune conjunct your ascendant, you'd be a 12th house person to me. You'd be very Piscean. So someone with a lot of Pisces, they may have a stellium of all their planets in Pisces, and it may be in the fourth house. They may they're going to resonate with this book, and because they're going to have experiences of a 12th house or because of the rulership of Pisces, if that makes sense. And so people ask me, most people that find my group, I have a 12th house astrology group. I have 13,000 people from all over the world, and people find the group. And when they start sharing their chart, their stories, a lot of them have a stellium, which means they have three or more planets in the 12th house, which is a lot of 12th house energy. And so they really resonate and share their stories with me. But even someone with just the moon there is going to resonate with that energy of being of service and trying to find a spiritual path and all of those things. So depending on your chart, you know, I pull people's charts up and I'll say, oh, you're a 12th house or you're an 8th house. Or, you know, if you're not, it's okay. It's not a bad thing. It just means you don't have those lessons in your life this time. But everyone has Pisces and Scorpio energy somewhere. So I can always look at where the Pisces energy is, and it's going to be similar in that area of life of what a 12th houser goes through, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. So how do we find out what house we are or houses we are?
Yeah. So what you'd want to do is, you know, you need an astrologer, or you can pull it up on your own. Really, there's websites called astro.com. And what you want to do is you're going to need to know your date of birth and year. The time of birth is so important. And a lot of people do know their time of birth, or it's on their birth certificate, or it's in their baby book, or their parents told them. But some people might not know. And I'm going to explain how we can get an accurate chart here in a minute. But for people that don't know, but if you know your time, you need to make sure you have it pretty close as possible, because, you know, 30 minutes can change things and change your personality chart. So the time is crucial for an astrologer for you to really know your accurate chart. But you need to know AM or PM. You know, for me, I'm born at 7:35 AM, and I'm born in the United States. And so my sun is in the 12th house, which, like we talked about, when it's rising, you know, in the morning, early morning time. If you're born in the early morning, like 6:30, depending where you live, to, you know, 8:30, your sun is probably in the 12th house. And you could have many other planets there as well. And then you need to know your city, state, and country of birth. And you just pull up astro.com to do a free chart wheel, or there's lots of sites, and you'll put this information in, and it'll pull up a wheel, that wheel I talked about, and it'll look like a bunch of symbols is what it's going to look like. And, you know, don't get scared away, because, you know, it'll have all the houses will be numbered, so you'll know where to look. Okay, they're number 12, that's the 12th house, okay. And then it goes, you know, 1 through 12 in a circle. And you'll be able to see little symbols, which are the planets in each house and in each sign. And that's your chart. And you get any basic astrology book and look up, you know, do the basic. Okay, that little symbol's the sun. Okay, I have sun in Pisces. Oh, it's in the 12th house. And then you can look that up, what that means. And so it's just really starting out, getting that basic wheel. I recommend, you know, contacting an astrologer. There's tons of people that are wonderful online, or going to astro.com. You do your own free chart, and you can purchase charts through there as well. And they'll send you a printout, and it'll tell you all your placements and everything that you need to know. And then you'll know what houses your planets are in and what sign and everything.
Now, here's a question. It's a little bit off the wall, but I am curious. How do you connect or not connect your work as a social worker and as an astrologer? Is it something that you use in your daily profession, or are the two worlds totally separate and never the twain shall meet?
That's a great question. Yes. It's interesting because a little bit of both. I do keep what I do a little bit private at my normal job, right?
But, sure.
But as a therapist, you know, when I don't do private practice anymore, but I did years ago, I would always, you know, when you do an intake form, you know what someone's birthday is right off, right? And so I would know their sign. I would know at least their basic sun sign. And I would see their strengths, you know, their personality strengths, their challenges, their weaknesses, you know, just their overall energy of that sun sign was just so evident in everyone I meet. You know, my bosses, my supervisors, you know, my coworkers. I've always used my knowledge of, you know, what's your birthday, you know, and we have birthday parties for people at work. And, you know, and I do use it to understand others. And I know how to interact with certain people based on the fact that I know what their sign is, right? And they may not know, but I know them, right? It helps me understand other people in a deeper way. And a few things that how astrology came into my normal practical jobs is, you know, I used to work in a youth service program with runaway teens years ago. And every weekend, you know, when we were on call, when there was a full moon, more people had arguments and fights, and there were more of our teens that would run away and end up at the police station. And I started telling my coworkers, you know, it's a full moon weekend. And they would laugh at me at first, right? Like, Carmen, you're just, you know, you're different. But they would realize there's something to this, because they're like, Carmen, you're right. I got called out 5 times. And so then they started listening to me, and they're like, Carmen, is it a full moon? I'm like, yes. And they're like, okay. So they were prepared, right? That it could be busier. There could be more people calling 911, you know, more arguments and tension, you know, during a full moon, which we know the full moon rules our emotional nature. And so, you know, if you talk to a lot of police officers and even medical personnel, there's a lot of research about it that more people report to the ER, more people are arrested or more domestic disputes during a full moon than any other time of the month. So it's a scientific thing to it. So in a way, yes, I have brought it into my work to help others and to, you know, help prepare them. Another thing I also bring into work a lot, and I always tell everyone, Mercury's retrograde. You know, when the planet Mercury goes retrograde, you know, it's like 4 times a year, and it's like affects us for like 4 to 6 weeks, and it causes communication problems, you know, technical difficulties, computers, phones, miscommunication. You know, you write an email and the person never gets it, or they misinterpret it. And right. They get mad, you know, all of that. And I warn people, be careful what you put in writing and be very clear on what you're saying during this time, because Mercury's retrograde. And all my coworkers now believe me. They're like, Carmen, it's Mercury's retrograde, isn't it? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, I knew it. You know, so I educate people that may not know about this, but just to slowly plant seeds that this is real. These things, it's a science, it's an energy. And it works, and it's here to help us, you know, to understand these things helps us in so many ways. So yes, I do bring it into my work. I have another book, Sun Signs, Houses and Healing, that just came out. And in that book, I talk all about the strengths of each sign and how to get along with each other. And really all of that research came from working with people in jobs, you know, coworkers, family, friends, just knowing what their sun sign was and different things I learned, you know, from being around people in different environments.
In terms of astrology, I always have this question, and I'm going to get back to some more questions about the 12th house, but is it simply the indication of things that can be, or is it the indication of things that will be? It's kind of like the Scrooge question, you know. Oh, mm-hmm. Tell me, ghost, these things could be changed or something to that effect.
Yes.
So when you're looking at your reading and you're seeing something upcoming, is it something where you have to kind of like, oh my goodness, it's unavoidable. It's like heading for a car accident. Or is it something that with awareness and with thoughtfulness that you can guide the universe in certain ways?
Very good question. Yes, we have free will and choice, I do believe. And it's kind of an Edgar Casey quote I like. He was a famous psychic, but he was also an astrologer. But he said, astrology is fact, but there's no greater power than man's will. And I always like that, because these energies affect us, but we have the power to understand them. And if I can get someone young enough to do their chart, I can help possibly guide them to prevent certain things, right, that might be in that chart, which could be divorce or marrying young, right? All of these different things. So I'll give you an example. When the planet Uranus transited my seventh house, you know, I knew what that meant for a lot of my clients that I had helped over the years, that most of the time when Uranus hits your marriage house and relationship house, there's separation, divorce, and endings, right, in the marriage. And I did not want a divorce, right? I've been married maybe, I don't know, it was 12 years at the time. And when Uranus transits certain areas of your life, it affects you for 7 to 8 years. So it's a long time you're dealing with that energy. So I remember thinking, how am I going to overcome this? What do I have to do? And I remember asking an astrologer friend of mine, I know what this means, but I don't want a divorce. What can I do to prevent this, right? And he said, you have to completely let the past go, die, and be reborn, and start fresh in this marriage. Yeah. And the interesting thing about it, what helped me at the time was my husband, he was actually in the Air Force, and he deployed a lot. And so during that transit, he deployed, and we were separated, so to speak, but, you know, not because we wanted to. And that actually helped my situation with this transit, you know what I mean? And because I had that time on my own to be, you know, Uranus is all about being independent and being free, right? And that sense of freedom, which I ended up having because he wasn't around for quite a while, like, you know, 6 months at a time. And so I made it that transit, and I'm still married today. I've been married 23 years. So I can say that it is not 1% true you're going to divorce if Uranus hits your seventh house. It is often what happens if people don't understand it and do things to work on it, right? The same is kind of true for Pluto. You know, when I see someone that has Pluto in the seventh house of their natal chart, you know, a lot of times, you know, there could be divorce, there could be death of a spouse or some type of unhealthy relationship in their life at some point that might involve power control dynamics, domestic violence. You know, you can see negative things, but there's also positive things. They could heal. Their marriage could help them heal. Their relationships could help them heal, because that's also the other side of Pluto. And so I always give people the different energies and guidance of what they can do to try to understand it, but also overcome it and do things in a deliberate way, you know. And that's kind of what's amazing about astrology. The energy is there, but we have free will and choice, right, on how we respond to it. And I do believe that there's many things in your chart that are meant to happen. And I've seen it. There's some things we can't change, and that's in life. There's some things that can be changed. And that really has to do with a higher power, I believe, in God and kind of our destiny. You know, I believe we all have a destiny, and the chart shows that destiny. And we will eventually reach that destiny no matter what. The universe will get us there. But if you start working with the positive things of your chart, that helps you get there a little quicker and a little less bumps and bruises along the way, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. Now, in regard to this book, you talk about the theme of fallen angels. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yes. So when I just researching this 12th house for so long and hearing people's stories, a lot of people feel lonely and just feel different. Like a lot of 12th house people feel like they're adopted. They're an alien. You know, they're not from here. They always are very different from their families, you know, with dreams and feelings and intuition. And I listen to their stories and I started realizing, you know, how kind and compassionate and caring, you know, they are. They give a lot of their energy to others. They attract people that have pain. They're really healers, and most of them go into counseling, you know, astrology, healing, you know, all these mystical fields, medicine to help people. And I realized, you know, they are like angels, and they're not from Earth. So I call them fallen angels. You know, they're here. They are different. They are special. They have, you know, special abilities, and they're like angels that came to this earth to help others. And they feel very alone and different, and they often are hurt by other people and feel betrayed and have a lot of negative experiences. And they can kind of sometimes get into the victim mentality. So I always try to help 12th house people realize that they're not a victim. you know, that these experiences happened to them to make them stronger and more spiritual. Because if you didn't have to go through difficult experiences, you wouldn't seek something higher than yourself. So that's kind of what I call them, are fallen angels, because they really are special, and they really do have a special mission and destiny on this earth. And their biggest thing is that they have to learn to have boundaries, and they have to learn to utilize their empathic and spiritual abilities to help other people. But they're here to find their oneness with a higher power. And one of the things, you know, a lot of the old books that talk about the 12th house, there's a lot of negative things associated with it, you know, like self-undoing and secrets and all these things. But in reality, you know, a lot of people, these planets, you know, they go in monasteries, they're drawn to being a nun, a monk, a nun, a priest, rabbi, you know, they're spiritual, and they're here to find their oneness and with something that isn't earthly. You know, it's not a material house. It's a hard house to have planets in, because it's very, very spiritual, and it's not, you know, grounded. So that's why they really have to learn to ground themselves and in their energy, because they are on earth, even though they don't really belong here. They are fallen angels, if that makes sense. So I wrote an article about it, and that's what kind of spurred my title of this book.
Well, you present it excellently, and you obviously know your stuff. If people want to get the book and also find out about your other work, where would you direct them?
Yes, I'm trying to lead people more to my Facebook group. I have a Facebook page. It's Carmen Turner Schott, author. And I also have a Facebook page called Deep Soul Divers Astrology. And I have a website. It's www.812houses.com. And on that site, you can contact me through there. You can find my Facebook group links, different radio interviews I've done about the 12th and 8th houses. And all of my books are on there as well.
Very good. Well, we've enjoyed speaking with Carmen Turner Schott about astrology and her book, The Mysteries of the 12th Astrological House, Fallen Angels. Carmen, thank you for joining us today, and continued success.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you for tuning into the program. We certainly appreciate it. Fascinating. And I've always been fascinated with astrology, and certainly Carmen answered some questions. But there's a lot more, so make sure you check out everything she does. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.